If you have your Bibles, if you'll look in Matthew chapter 10 is where we'll be this morning. Matthew chapter 10. In 1905, Anna Jarvis, when her mother died, wanted to do something to honor her. So she was a member of the Methodist Episcopal Church in Graveston, West Virginia, and had a liturgical service to honor mothers. In 1908, Congress voted down in making a national holiday called Mother's Day. By 1911, because of Jarvis and her crew, every state was doing some kind of celebration for mothers. And in 1914, Woodrow Wilson brought into law that the second Sunday of May would be a national holiday to remember mothers. That's why we're here. But let me tell you why I'm here, and I'm going to give you the lowdown on it. Pastor called me last Saturday while I was at my mother's 63rd high school reunion. Yeah, that was fun. And he said, "Hey, Tim, Chris and I have met, and I want y'all to take Mother's and Father's Day, and Tim's not going to be here on Mother's Day, so you get Mother's Day." Great. Because I know nothing about being a mother. I was there when my wife had our two kids, and the first one, I think we went 22 hours of labor. We pushed for 2 hours, cord wrapped around his neck, emergency C-section. The second one, we went to the last visit before we were supposed to have the baby, and I said, "Don't we need to pack a bag?" "Oh, no, we'll be fine." Well, our daughter showed up 5 weeks early, emergency C-section. Look, I'll admit it. I ain't got the threshold of pain to have a baby. Carol Burnett said it the best. Having a baby is like taking your bottom lip and pulling it over your head. So, Mother's Day is a $32 billion holiday. $32 billion is the estimate of what Mother's Day will pull this year. $235.76 is the average people will spend on their mothers. Now, that sounds like a lot, but have you been to McDonald's lately? Good night. My daughter's like, "French fries are $4 for large?" I'm like, "Yeah." We're here because it's Mother's Day. But let me tell you where I am. I can't come and offer you proverbs or philosophy on how to be a great mother. I'm a dude. But what I can offer you is what I promised God when I was 17 years old and he convicted my soul to preach God's word, and that is to take you to the cross. I want to read this passage to you this morning, Matthew chapter 10. Verse 32 through 39. "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my namesake will find it." Happy Mother's Day. I've entitled this sermon, you ready for this one? the worst Mother's Day sermon ever, but a good one about Jesus. Let me just give you context is everything. He is talking to the disciples, and he is talking about discipleship, of them going out. In the first 15 verses, he tells them what they need to do. Don't take anything with you. You go. And if someone welcomes in your house, you come into their house. And if they're worthy of blessing, you bless them. If they're not worthy of blessing, you leave. If you come to a city and they do not welcome you, you dust your shoes off and leave that city. And in about verse 16, he tells us these words: I am leading you out like lambs amongst wolves. And then he goes on and he tells us these things that we will suffer if we are disciples. And this is the side of Christianity that we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear about suffering. We don't want to hear that we might not be asked to the party. Become a pastor, you're never asked to the party. Nobody wants to drink when the pastor's around. But what do? He tells us these wonderful things. He tells us three times, do not fear. Fear not. Look with me in verse 21. He says, brother will betray brother, father to death, and rise up against father, and children will rise up against parents. And in verse 26, he says, therefore, do not fear, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. And later on in verse 28, he says, look, do not fear for those who kill the body, of those who can kill the body and able to kill the soul, but fear the one who can take your soul and condemn it to hell. And then later on, he tells us, look, fear not, for you are more worthy than the sparrows that fall from the sky. And God knows when they fall from the skies. God knows the amount of hair upon your head. God knows the grains of sand. Isn't that wonderful that we serve a God who created universes that we cannot see? NASA can put up whatever they want, but we can't see these universes. But that same God who tells us the planets are his footstools knows the number of hairs upon your head. And made promises like, and we know that all good things work for the good of those who loved him and are called according to his purpose. God knows you. So let's look at verses 32 and 33. And here's my first point. You got a picture of my mama up there? Is it? There she is. That's the sweetest lady in the world. She's 81 years old. And let me tell you, there have been times in my life where I needed to be put in my place. There are times in my life which I wish I had that mom assistant. And there are times in my life when I called my mama. Okay, this is going to shock some of y'all, but I went to college on a soccer scholarship. Don't let the boo you. Okay? I'm fast. I always was told, I don't know if this is a compliment. People always told me this compliment: you are faster than you look. How do you take that? I have no idea. But I went to soccer college, and I had to be there 6 weeks. And if you know anything about soccer players that don't know Jesus, whoa. And I called my mom second day after running about 6 miles. We went the wrong way and ended up running about 10 miles. And I said, Mom, I want to come home. She goes, no, baby. And these are her words: just pray. Just pray. Verse 32 and 33 tells us these words. She said, Jesus saying, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before the Father which is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before the Father who is in heaven. What are you saying to the world that is out there? Better yet, mom, what are you saying to your kids? Is it Jesus and... is it, hey, sports are number one? I've been there. We've done travel soccer. What are you confessing? Because most of the times we will pay a good lip service to God. But you know what you believe is what you do. He says, look, if you confess me before men... I'm reminded when Paul told about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, look, I've seen the faith of your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois, and I am persuaded you have the same faith. I'm telling you, I would not be here with a mother who confessed Jesus Christ. Not because just what she said, but because of what she believed. Now, sometimes I didn't like it. I was 16 years old. She'd just been recently divorced of a 22-year marriage, my father. And she was working this job, and she hated it. New management came in. My mom was an alcohol rehab nurse, and she hated it. And it was around December. And for about the first 2 months, or 2 months after, before that, she would come in, go to bed, wake up, go to work. Sleeping all the time, barely eating. And finally, I called her one morning, and I said, what is wrong with you? She said, I hate my job. And I had just been called to ministry, so I went pastoral on her. And I said, well, have the faith that God will give you another one. Quit it. And have faith he'll give you another one. She went and quit. Christmas was 2 weeks away. But I'm here to tell you, January the 4th, my mom had a job lined up for her. A job that she loved, doing the things she loved. She went to a rehab clinic that ministered to homeless men in downtown Atlanta. She could walk on, I'm serious, y'all. She could walk on any street in Atlanta. Nobody would mess with her. Matter of fact, I walked with her one day, and we were stopped by five different homeless men who had been through the rehab treatment, and every one of them came up to us. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm ready for a fight. To hug my mother. And she prayed with every one of them. You want to give your kids something? Give them Jesus. Look, we have three girls that are graduating high school. Statistic tells us this. 75% of the kids, when they leave high school, will never come back to church. You telling me that's the God I serve? No. Now, there's a lot of reasons, and we could go through those reasons, but I've been a youth pastor for 15 years, and let me tell you, the number one problem is you'll come to this building, you'll praise his name, you'll talk the talk, you'll open the Bible, you'll get home, you'll shut the Bible and never open it up again. And your kids are seeing that. If it's not real to you, it's not going to be real to them. We don't have to go to church at the Burrell house. We get to go to church. We don't have to read our Bible. We get to read our Bible. Confess him. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 and 7. It was the Shema. It says, O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as Lord, the God of our fathers, has promised you in the land with milk and honey. Look at this. Next verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you shall be on your heart. Verse 7 is the clincher. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and daughters. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. We will talk about everything else except Jesus. And we wonder why this great world's going to pot. Because you're denying him. I had a lady 15 years ago stand in a Sunday school class I was teaching, and she said, "I'm a Nicodemus Christian." What's a Nicodemus Christian? I work in a corporate world where you can't say that you're a Christian, so I'm a Christian in hiding. No! You either confess him or you deny him. He doesn't call you to be a Nicodemus. That's something made up that you made up. He said, it shall be on our hearts. So let me just ask you a question. Martin Buber says, we learn when we become, when we come with more questions going out than when we came in. Who do you confess? Too many mothers. I deal with grief. I call 40 people a day that have lost loved ones. I deal with grief all the time. I read articles after articles. Let me tell you, the biggest drop that we're having now is when mothers lose children, they lose their faith. Jimbo, you got that other picture? I'm the little blonde one with the big head. Hey, teenagers, those are called leisure suits, and those are called butterfly collars. And my mama made those dresses. I think they would have made better tablecloths than dresses. But you see the kid on the right? Here's a crazy thing. There's four kids. That's Jeff. Far one on the left is my oldest sister, Amy. Next one to me is Cindy, and I'm Corey. Jeff, Amy, Cindy, Corey. They spell my dad's name Jack. I'm just glad. My mom's name's Harriet. Praise the Lord, they didn't have that many kids. The guy on the right, October 17th, 1981, was coming home from his girlfriend's house, fell asleep, hit the culvert of the ditch, died instantly. I saw my mama cry for 3 days. I remember pulling up at the First Baptist Church of Hampton, Georgia, where we went to church. Folks, to tell you there was a sea of people, it blew my 9-year-old mind. My dad owned the pharmacy in town. I mean, the church was packed. There was a downstairs room in the basement where they had sound. It was packed. People were standing outside, packed. There was my rock, my mom, crying. But I will never forget it when Steve Ivey sang the song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." We're not Pentecostal. We're not charismatic. My grandmother shamed us for clapping in church. Sorry, grandmother. But I will never forget that day when he hit that first chorus. My mom's hands went up and the biggest smile came upon her face. What if God takes your child? I pray he doesn't. That is a heartache I don't want anybody to face. But the problem is our confession goes further toward our kids than our Savior. Point number two, we must favor him. Verse 34 and 36, Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring you peace of the earth. I did not come to bring you peace, a sword. For I've come to set up a man against his father and a daughter against his mother and a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves his father more than me is not worthy of me. Get your children, get your family off the pedestal that only belongs to Jesus Christ. This is a paradox. A paradox is a statement that sometimes look at as a contradictory statement that when investigated explains the truth. Jesus has come to bring peace. He said in Isaiah chapter 9, I am the Prince of Peace. John the Baptist says he is peace on earth. The angel spoke to the shepherd and they says, oh, do not fear, for we have come to bring peace. Peace. So what is Jesus saying? Is he contradicting himself? No, but we are craving for peace. You know the proverbial beauty contestant, I want world peace. That does not involve Jesus. We want peace where we can be comfortable. Jesus says, no. I've come to give you a peace that is a holy one. And right now, you're unholy. And right now, you're messed up in your sin. And he says, if I got to bring you peace, you're going to have to go through some stuff. And I'm going to have to bring a sword. Now, let me tell you a thing about theologians. When they don't know, they kind of skip over it. And I looked and looked and looked, but I'm going this way. A sword. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the quick of the matter. It is alive. It is active. John chapter 8, Jesus says, look, I come to give you truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is this sword that Jesus is bringing? It is the word of God. When the word of God comes upon you, it will break your soul. It will make you war against yourself. But when you surrender to it, peace. Peace. But how do I get that? I try to Mother Day this and say, look, favor God. Favor Jesus Christ. He says, forsake them. Is Jesus worthy enough for your love? Is Jesus worthy enough for your affections? The key word, I think, is when he talks about denying, and he says this little phrase, your Father who is in heaven. We all know the prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is not home according to Philippians. This is not home. Our citizenship is in heaven. What are you longing for? What is worthy to you? He says, find favor. He's boastful. In the book of Exodus chapter 30 and the book of Exodus chapter 20, Jesus recognizes himself as a jealous God. Oprah had a problem with it. She would go to church every Sunday. She was an active member of church, but the pastor stood up and preached. And he said, the Bible says that he is a jealous God. Oprah says, I can't worship a God who says he is jealous. Why does God say he's jealous? Well, see, we have this unholy view of jealousy. God is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, holy. If there is anything else, he is not that. He is a jealous God. And he deserves your everything. Favor him. So who's number one? See, we look at this passage and say, how could Jesus say, I'm here to war, mother against father, or son against father, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against father? take off your American glasses. This is worldwide. There are people in Islamic countries. Do you realize the gospel is growing the fastest in Islamic countries? Muslims are being saved leaps and bounds, but they're facing it. Dearborn, Michigan, it is under Sharia law. A little girl named Rifka, 16 years old, became a Christian. She had to hide it from her father. She finally contacted a church in Florida because she was scared for her life. They either torture you or they call it a mercy killing. By her father was going to torture her or give her a mercy killing. This church in Florida got her out. They're now staying with her. Her parents like, we never did say that we were going to kill her. Yeah. Read the Quran and see what it says. When some people come to faith, it is their family forsakes them. I have seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it with kids. Is Jesus worthy? We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. But what about the next one? Though none go with me, I still will follow. Really? Thirdly, follow him. Look with me in verses 37 and 38. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he says, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my name's sake will find it. You're giving your kids everything. But the one thing they need is Jesus Christ. Look, I'm not asking you to be perfect. I don't go around preaching to my kids. Let me tell you what I do. I messed up. And I'm coming here to ask you for forgiveness because that's it. See, in the Burrell household, we don't make excuses when we apologize. An apology is, I apologize for whatever action you did. Do you forgive me? Case closed, cut, dry, that's it. Don't tell me the dog made you do it. Don't tell me it was because of waking up late. No, that's it. That's the apology. See, the problem is we try to be too perfect for our kids. Our kids need to see us mess up, that we serve a risen Savior who gives grace and grace abundantly. Because they're going to mess up. I messed up, even with my wonderful mother. I messed up. He says, look, take up your cross. The cross was an instrument of death. Jesus is asking no more and no less than this, that you are willing to die for him. Are you willing to die for your kids? I am. I'll tell you flat out. Take me instead of them. I will do it in a heartbeat. But we serve a Savior who we've never seen fleshly. We serve a Savior who we, by faith, has died upon the cross, resurrected. My question is, will you die for him? Because it gains you nothing. It gains you nothing to die for your children and not to know Jesus Christ. It gains you nothing to give your kids everything. The greatest in sports, the greatest in education, the greatest clothes, the greatest living, the greatest four-wheelers, I don't know. And not to give them the Savior. Pick up your cross. Is he worthy enough? Is he number one? Is Jesus number one? $235. The average person will spend jewelry is number one. Mother's Day second in flowers next to Valentine's. But they interviewed mothers all across America, different shapes, sizes, religions, everything. And you know what most of them wanted? To spend time with their kids. To spend time with their kids. Do you know what God wants? To spend time with his kids. Let's pray. With your eyes closed, and maybe you come to have an experience with your mother. I can't go any further, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you committed your life to him? Maybe you're a mother, maybe you're a father, maybe you're a teenager, and you said, look, Jesus is not number one in my life. This Christian thing is more than just going to heaven. This Christian thing is more than not going to hell. This Christian thing is about a relationship with the God of the universe. Do you want peace that passes all understanding? You're going to have to come repenting, confessing of your sins. But the good news is, he's paid it all. Father God, as we come to this time of the service, may you open up our hearts. God, you tell us to make sure we're part of the leg. Make sure that we test the spirit. Make sure of our salvation. And God, we can get caught up in things that look so innocent where you have taken a step down. I pray right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would convict those who need to be convicted to come back to you. As you said in Revelations, come back to your first love. God, thank you for loving us. I thank you for mothers, my mother, the women who have no children that have poured out in my life. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.